Welcome to Faith, Hope, and Action. I'm Sister Patricia with the Poor Clare Sisters. With Pentecost just over, we're now filled with the Holy Spirit, and we look for ways to spread the good news that God has filled us with. So to help you and me with this great mission, I've invited my dear friend and comrade, Sister Janet Ferns of the Franciscan Missionary of the Divine Motherhood and the Communication Coordinator of the Pontifical Mission Society of England and Wales, a society that is in every country in the world. In the United States, this society is known as Catholic World Missions. But today, we're going to England and Wales. So welcome, Sister Janet, to the program.
Thank you very much.
Can you share with us just what the society is about and what the mission that they do?
Well, all of us, when we were baptized, were invited by Jesus to take part in the mission to go out and spread the good news to every kingdom, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So we're all, by our baptism, commissioned to be missionaries, but that can be both within our own family, our own parish, our own country, but also throughout the history of the Church, it's meant reaching out to other countries, to people in need, and taking the gospel to, sometimes to people who haven't ever heard of Jesus, sometimes to people who need just a bit of help and support. So that's what we're there for. And the Pontifical Mission Societies actually covers four organizations altogether. So we're with people literally from birth to the grave.
So how is that? What are those four organizations?
Well, the four branches are the Society for the Propagation of the Faith, which is abbreviated to SPF. And that is for supporting people in mission, in development, and helping them to be more effective in bringing the Church to life in their own situation. We've got the Society of St. Peter Apostle, which is abbreviated to SPA, and that is responsible for supporting every single missionary or every single seminary, seminarian, and diocese in the world that are under the title of mission diocese, or which actually means that they come directly under the care of Propaganda Fide in Rome. You've got the Holy Childhood Association, which in England and Wales has calls itself Mission Together, and in Australia they've changed the name so that it's called Life for All, and that is teaching children to be missionaries, so children to help and work with other children. And finally, you've got the Missionary Union of Priests and Religious, and that means that all the missionary congregations and societies come together and offer mutual support to each other in their work of mission.
You know, one of the things you brought forth in this little talk right now, and you brought that we were talking about yesterday, was the difference between mission and development, and that you were saying you were going to explain that so well, the difference between mission and development of the organization.
Well, the expression that I used was that anybody can do development, but not everybody can do mission. And this morning I was out for a walk, and I went over Waterloo Bridge and over the River Thames. And if I look over towards St. Paul's Cathedral, and you've got this magnificent scenario of the Thames and the wonderful buildings in London, you can see a lot of cranes, and there's a lot of growth and development going on. And places that were broken down are being regenerated. They've already started for the Olympics in 2012. So you can develop anywhere. It's possible in London, it's possible anywhere in the US, it's possible anywhere in the world. I mean, like Myanmar, after the terrible tragedy that they've just had, is going to have to do a lot of rebuilding, and then they'll have to develop people's lifestyle again, because, for instance, where fishing boats have been sunk. But mission is something different. If it's development, you go in short term. You're not there for the duration. Mission means that you are going into the situation because you believe that each person is created by a loving God, and that throughout the course of their life, they are loved by God and loved into life at each moment by God. So you're in mission, you're going deliberately with faith, with belief, meeting Christ in the people that you encounter and helping them as well to radiate Christ. Now, it could mean that mission involves development. Say you've got a village that needs water. The people will be better able to appreciate the goodness of God if they can also have a drink of water when they need it. But mission literally means that you are with somebody from the moment of their conception to the moment of their death. And through the Pontifical Mission Societies, we are officially mandated by the Church to look beyond the needs of our own country, to look at the needs of the Church in other countries.
That's very powerful, I think. How would relating it, you know, down to the simple person, the single person, how can one person reach out to other countries?
Well, this is one of the reasons why in October we have World Mission Sunday, and this year it's the 19th of October, and on that day, every single diocese, every parish in the world actually thinks about what it can do for mission and contributes towards the collection for the support of the Church outside their own country. So none of the money that's collected on World Mission Sunday goes to the needs of the country in which it's been collected. So it really is a symbol of each individual reaching out to the whole world. But one of the important things about our mission is prayer. And without prayer, we've got nothing to offer the rest of the world, because we meet God in our prayer. And we are trying to take God, the God that we find in our prayer, to the rest of the world.
So that's a way that we can all help every day for the world missions.
Absolutely, absolutely. Prayer is so important. And because you don't have to be in good health to be able to pray, it means that even the sick have got a real contribution to make. And I might add that even the contemplative religious offer a tremendous gift to mission. That's why Saint Therese of Lisieux actually is the patroness of the missions, in that she never went outside Carmel.
That's right. That's right. What I'm trying to think of our prayer is there. How can we pray to bring the world? I'm just trying to make it concrete in my mind, you know. And I'm thinking, when we're faced with news events, you know, where we have these terrible catastrophes, then we can see the sense of and I think actually feel the sense of prayer going out to these people all over the world. But sometimes it's hard for us to envision our neighbors in other countries, you know. And I know, just share one little personal story. I know when I had my major conversion back into the faith, the Catholic Church, I was all alone in my grandmother's apartment, and I felt God calling me back. And I had this real sense that someone on the other side of the world was praying for me to come back. And it was, and somehow I even felt it was like they were in Africa. And I had no idea, I mean, I had no contact with anyone in Africa or anything. But I just felt that somewhere I would never know until I was in heaven who was praying for me. It was just, but it was so powerful because we don't know how our prayer reaches out to someone. And oftentimes we don't have to have a name or a face or a figure to pray for that person. I think that's...
Don't at all need that. And, you know, the support that people can receive just through knowing that there's somebody thinking of them and praying for them on the other side of the world can be so great. You know, I've mentioned Myanmar. Well, I have, in the last couple of weeks, had the privilege of speaking to people out there. Now, they've had to remain anonymous for their own safety. But any communication that we've had has said at the end of it, thank you for praying for us. Just please keep on praying for us. And they just want to know that they're not forgotten, that people have got them in their hearts and in their prayers. And if we can give support in that way, you know, you don't need money for that. You just need a heart.
That's so true. And it's just, I think we just need to be become aware of that even more, you know, that we can make a difference with our prayers. And I know we hear of different people who have gone through these great tragedies, and they felt something helping them. They felt God's presence there, and they actually felt the presence of other people praying for them. I know...
Yes. Well, put it in the American context. Just think about Hurricane Katrina and how many people came together and supported the people in that area while the floodwaters were still up and nobody knew how many were dead or alive or what was going to be the situation for them when the waters went down. You know, if you know that somebody's praying for you and thinking of you, you can keep on going for just that little bit longer.
So true. And another place where I think oftentimes we don't think of where the mission needs to be, and I hope I'm sure it is that in our prisons, especially in the United States, we have so many prisons and so many people in prisons. And, you know, we can all say, actually, if we're truthful, therefore the grace of God, go I, because it's so easy to be led down the wrong path if we're in wrong circumstances. And I have a real heart for the people who are in prison, you know, who are, I'm cloistered and I chose that freely, you know, and I still sometimes long to be out or do something. But these people, I'm not saying they're not guilty, but, you know, I'm guilty of a lot too. And it's like, I can't imagine spending a day, weeks, months, years, a whole lifetime in prison, you know, that. And I think we need to give our heart and prayers to those people who have been, maybe it is through their own fault or maybe it isn't, but they still are our brothers and sisters, and we still need to reach out to them with hope that we can, through prayer, help them.
Well, I think that prayer can work amazing miracles, and I think that no matter how big a crime somebody's committed, the prayers of others can actually lead them closer to God. And I think in any prison anywhere in the world, there are also, sadly, people who are there as a result of miscarriage of justice. And it must be very, very hard for them. It must be very hard for people who have had a conversion while they're in prison, and yet they've still got a very long prison sentence to work out that might be even for the rest of their lives. And I think they do need prayer, because they in particular are in a very special situation where they desperately need support when they're in what must be a horrendous environment.
I think so. And it's like also we just have no idea who are the real saints in the world. You know, we think there may be the people on whatever, you know, doing great things and wonderful things. But sometimes it's the people who have had the great conversions. And like you say, they might be in prison. They might be an older person in a nursing home. They might be somebody poor on the street that's just barely making it. And yet their hearts are so much more full of God's love and goodness just where they are. And their prayers in the hard life that they're living can be more powerful than we can imagine.
Well, I can never forget a homeless man that I met when I was in my teens, because he was quoting scripture to me. He was, you know, filthy dirty, and I've got almost no sense of smell, but I could smell him, and I don't know how long he'd been living on the streets. He was an alcoholic, and you name it, he probably was guilty of it. And I said to him, he was quoting scripture to me, and I said to him, you are living like this, and yet you're able to quote scripture, you're able to talk about God. And he said, listen, dear, he said, if I didn't believe in him, I still wouldn't be here today. He's allowed me to keep on going up to this day. And I thought, wow, that man has got faith. And perhaps he was a saint, because when the chips were down, he was still going on believing.
That's right.
He'll never be canonized, but...
Yeah, and that's what I say. You know, we don't... Of course, an addiction is another entrapment, another prison that so many of us, I think, have an addiction of some sort, you know, just because we're all weak and fall... I can't pronounce the word, so I better not use it. But we all have our failings that lead us to find a consolation in something, you know. And I don't know that we could all, you know, think of them as addiction, like need to be treated for. But we all have something that we take for... escape, maybe.
Well, one of the loveliest definitions of sanctity that I have ever heard was that the saint is a person who keeps on trying when everybody else gave up.
Oh, that's great. I love that.
And that puts sanctity within my reach.
Yeah.
Because I can try.
Right.
And if I try, nobody's asking me to succeed. They're only asking me to try.
That's great. I'm writing this down because I forget so fast. The saint who keeps on trying.
The saint is the person who keeps on trying when everybody else gave up.
Yeah. And that's where you say that the saints are in the prisons, they're in our streets, they're in our homes, they're in the children and the men and women who are handicapped. We have... A lot of times we'll get phone calls from people who have mental challenges, you know, and I think that's one of the hardest crosses to bear. And yet so many of these people are just strong in faith, and it's faith that keeps them going through their challenges. And so this is like, this whole little talk has kind of gone a different direction than I thought the world missions would go. But when you bring it individually, each of us is in a mission field.
Absolutely. And you don't have to be out in the middle of nowhere in a developing country to be needing mission. You know, I really believe that sometimes we can express mission just with a smile.
Oh, for sure.
You know, there was one day... this was a good few years ago now, but I was working on a cardiac ward, and I knew that one of the patients was Jewish. So as I went past him, just doing the ordinary jobs in the ward, I just said to him, Shalom. And I then went all hot and cold because he started crying. And I thought, what have I done? I've only said Shalom. And it turned out that he was alone in the world, that all his family had been killed in the Holocaust. And I think he must have just been sitting there thinking about it when I went past. And I just happened, well, it was God working through me. I just happened to say the one thing that he needed to hear at that moment. Now, I didn't know. But I think that God works through us in the most unexpected and sometimes unusual ways. And all we have to do is to be open to him working through us.
Oh, for sure. You know, right, yesterday, a couple of days ago, I interviewed this lady who's at our Marian conference here in Spokane named Kristen Taylor. And she's done some really remarkable things for the poor in Samoa and in her own area, Tampa, Florida. But one of the quotes that she said that sustains her is that something is better than nothing. And she said that's her kind of mantra or whatever. And I just love that. Something is better than nothing. You know, and that's when you were sharing your story just now, I remember a story that was spoke very powerfully to me that I read in a magazine about a person who was a nurse in a hospital. And there was a little lady there who was from Mexico, and she had she'd moved to the United States, and she did not know a word of English, and she was having to have an operation, and she was very frightened because she was in America, and it was a strange country to her, and she felt very foreign, and she felt unsafe and unprotected in this country, and no one could even touch her because she was so frightened, and she really needed medical help, but no one could reach her. And so they went to this one lady who they thought spoke Spanish to see if she could reach out to her. And she said she didn't know Spanish. The only thing she knew in Spanish was the Hail Mary. And so she went to this little lady who was just so frightened, and she reached into her pocket, and she pulled out her rosary beads, and she started praying the Hail Mary. And the lady all the walls came down, you know, and she prayed the Hail Mary with her, and together they prayed the rosary. And it was just this beautiful connection that she could reach with her. The only little thing that she knew in her language was enough to break down the walls. And then the doctors and nurses were able to come and help her because she felt that bond of friendship through God, you know. And that's what you say, is that God can use us in huge ways, just through the little things that we do.
Yes, and very often we don't even have to plan those little things.
Oh, we haven't a clue.
We haven't a clue.
But I do think we want to be, we have to have, well, we don't have to, because God can use us even, you know, like you say, without a clue. But I think when we are open to God using us, and we ask God to take our moments and use them in any way that he can take that little tiny loaf that we have and feed a whole bunch of people.
Well, one of the things that I have been trying to do is, and it's only a little thing, whenever I cross the road and I hold up the car, the traffic, while I'm crossing, I make an effort to smile at whoever's behind the steering wheel, because I think that you never know, that might be the only time that somebody smiles at that person during the day, and they've got to stay there and they've got to look at me while they're waiting for the road to clear. And it's amazing the number of times that somebody will look up and smile and wave, complete strangers, but it doesn't take anything to smile at people. And yet it can carry something.
Oh, yeah, it carries the fullness of the heart, I think. The joy, the joy that's there and that can reach into somebody's darkness, perhaps.
Yes, and that might just make the difference for them.
For sure. Well, Sister, we have to wind up again, but just let's, I wonder if you could just share in a small way what the Mission Society, what difference is it making to the world? And that's a huge question to end with.
I think it's making a huge difference to the world because I think it's trying to get people, members of the church, to work together and to perform miracles for other people. You know, with, for instance, sponsoring the training of seminaries, if it wasn't for that support, there are many dioceses that would collapse. They are absolutely dependent on that support that we give. And it's wonderful to see that I, and I'm talking about I as opposed to, you know, for anybody
right.
in this part of the world, I can help the church many thousands of miles away to keep on going. And to me, it's a tremendous privilege, and it's really putting into concrete reality the whole reason why I was born and became a Catholic and was baptized. I said became a Catholic, I was a Catholic all my life.
Janet, I'm sorry, but I have to cut it close. But I thank you so much for sharing with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure.